Think Tank is made possible by you, our supporters on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/thinktankpodcast. The definition of feminism is the advocacy of women's rights on the ground of the equality of the sexes. But what does that mean? Why do we need feminism? We are not an equal society. That's evident. But how so? I understand equality. I understand feminism. But I've never felt or had an experience that makes me want to need equality and need it now. My guest today is Emma. She's not only a feminist, but an advocate for feminism. In this story, you'll hear her experiences, and you'll hear what she's done to combat it. This is Emma's story.
Hi, my name's Emma McGuigan. I'm a 21-year-old student at Cardiff University. My journey with feminism is something extremely personal to me, and it's definitely been a long one. Before I even knew what feminism was, when I was a child, I knew that girls and boys were treated differently. And rightly so. I think appreciating the differences in all people is such an important thing, and it's a great way to live. I think, you know, embracing how people are different is one of the best things, one of the most important things that we can do. So, certainly not knocking that. But from a young age, I realized that even though society is really wonderfully diverse, that it's not equal and it disadvantages me among many other people. But this is, you know, my personal story. As a child, as young as 11, I remember I developed quite early and I was sexualized by my peers. When I was, you know, really young, before I even knew what sex was, I was being sexualized, you know. When I didn't really understand what was happening with my body, it almost felt like other people were taking control of it. And that was just, you know, that was how it was. Girls were treated in the halls, that's how I was treated. I remember I used to have, you know, my bra strap snapped in the, like, when I was 11 years old, and sometimes they were even broken when I was doing something, you know, as innocent as queuing for the toilets with the whole classroom, and there was a boy who stood behind me. It was a game to, I don't know, pop everyone's bra strap, and it was just, you know, something that you were anxious about, but it was something that you just kind of dealt with. But for years after that, I used to wear a hoodie every day to school. I think I wore a hoodie from the age of like 11 to 15, maybe. Just because you didn't want to attract any unwanted attention. It seemed up to me to hide my body rather than the responsibility of others to keep their hands off of it. When I was 15 and I ended up with my first boyfriend, it seemed to be up to the boys in my year, the other people in my year, and not me, whether or not we would have sex. It was like a huge, you know, point of contention that, you know, I didn't feel as though my sexuality or my body was my own. When I was 17, my best friend was raped by a family friend. And she only told me. And despite my pleas to tell her parents or the police, she kept putting the blame back on herself, saying, you know, if I wasn't drunk, it wouldn't have happened. Or she changed her mind halfway through, so it's not his fault, he couldn't stop. And that was definitely a turning point for me, hugely. It made me realize that women, in my experience, are just scared. You know, I think from when I found out that, like, rape was a thing, that's been my biggest fear my whole life. And people shouldn't live that way, but it's unfortunate. When I turned 18, and started going on nights out, I entered a world like never before. You get touched without permission, and you're meant to see it as a compliment. And you do. I think you just think, oh, that was uncomfortable, but at least I know I look good tonight. And that's just not an okay mentality to have, and it's not something that you realize until you do take a step back. In the pub where I worked, I was 18. Men as old as 60 or 70 would comment on my body as I served them. One experience, I was bringing some men their roast dinner. I was holding two hot plates in both my hands, and they lifted my skirt in front of the whole pub. And, you know, and it was midday on a Sunday afternoon. I mean, these were old men. You know, they were 60 or 70 years old, and I was told by my boss, who is a woman, my previous employer, that they're old and they don't know any better. It's a generational thing. And I just thought to myself, surely these people know better, but we just let people get away with it. You know, around this time, I was applying for uni, and I saw Emma Watson's speech on feminism, and it completely changed everything for me. I even wrote about it in my UCAS application, actually. It showed me that feminism is a dialogue that needs to be created. It's something that needs to be spoken about, and the taboo has to go away. Seeing Emma Watson's speech completely changed my life. Coming to uni, I started to be surrounded by all these strong women. You know, all these women identify as feminists. I think that's like a thing. Not in a negative way. I think almost when you come to uni, it's almost a fashion statement to say, oh, I'm a feminist now. You know, because, you know, everyone's trying to figure themselves out. You know, it's not the worst thing people say about themselves when they come to uni. But despite that, it was women around me who said, you know, on a night out, they would defend themselves if they were ever, things that I never thought were done or that I could do. But to see a woman, you know, be harassed on a night out and see her get security or have words back was something that I was like, okay, like, this not only can be done, but it needs to be done. Among this, there's always been the cries of feminazi or man-haters, and that's just something that is so frustrating to me. But not only frustrating, it's shocking at the lack of knowledge about what there really is about feminism out there. Because, you know, it's something I think if I had known what feminism was when I was younger, like, would things have been different? Would things have been different for me? You know, there are close friends of mine who are constantly inundated with sexism. Not just my close friend who was attacked, you know, women who would be like, oh, I'm not a feminist. Or, you know, people would say, oh, I'd never work under a woman. You know, it's just too catty. And then they just think that's just how it is. And they refuse to believe that being a feminist is anything but being, you know, a lesbian, bra-burning idiot. And that's just a stereotype that is out there that I think, you know, even I believed at a time. But these are such strong, beautiful women that I love very much. And to know that they feel like they get treated poorly because that's just the way it is so heartbreaking to me. More recently, I was working one night in a supermarket where I'm constantly faced with drunken idiots. I work late shifts, that's my job. You know, people come in from a night out, it's unavoidable. But then there's just, you know, the idiots who, if I ask them if they want a bag, they feel like they can ask me if I have a boyfriend. And it's just, it's little things like that where you're just like, I shouldn't have to go through this at my job. And then, you know, or there's men who say, oh, I'll come back later when you're finished and give you a kiss. And it's, you know, there's things that like that that you can laugh off, but at the back of your mind, you think, okay, I have to get a taxi home from work every shift. And should it be that way? I know it's important to take care of yourself, but it's when you're faced with things like that in your place of work. Most of the things I know I can laugh off because I know it's not important to let idiots like that get the better of you. I know when something is serious and when something is just as casual as any rude remark. It's not always that deep. But one night in particular, a customer came inches from my face, truly, it was right in my face, and said something, you know, I'm assuming he meant as a compliment because they always apparently do. And stayed like right in my face until, you know, I felt so uncomfortable where I had to just say thanks, you know, for him to walk away. and you have to smile. And it wasn't until after I just thought, why do I thank people for making me feel so small? You know, that was, I felt that was the only way to make him leave the situation and for me to carry on with my job. And I was later told by a colleague that was working there that that was just a perk of working in the city centre. And I'm sure that that was meant to comfort me. You know, my colleague is a really wonderful person. He's a really nice man. But it did just the opposite. What he didn't know is that it wasn't a perk and it wasn't... Sorry, I get really emotional about it. It's not a perk, and it's not just in the city centre. This is a daily occurrence for me and so many women, that from the moment we hit puberty, we're sexualized and made to feel like it's a compliment, that if we don't want to be told these things, we should hide our bodies to not look sexual. But what is sexual about me, standing in a supermarket uniform, sweeping the floor with no makeup on? What is sexual about my 16-year-old friend? And she's so afraid that if she confronts her rapist, it'll get back to her dad that she's even had sex at all. Every time an incident happens, I tell myself, next time will be the time that I react. But the time is now. And that night when I finished work, I messaged my really dear friend, Branwen, about a piece that I wanted to call Somebody's Daughter. The aim was to showcase young women and what their honest feelings about feminism are. We asked them what feminism is in their words, when they first realized they're a feminist, and why we need feminism. The intention of the piece was always to be a series. We've got the second episode post-production now, but what happened when we got the ball rolling on Somebody's Daughter was more than I think any of us had anticipated. It ended up being a whirlwind of a few days. We filmed and edited the piece on a really tight deadline, which was, you know, an emotional rush in itself. But the part that stuck out to me the most was that this group of girls, of women, came together and shared experiences through tears and laughter. For anyone who's seen the first episode, there's a particularly hard-hitting moment where one girl, a close friend of mine, shares her experience with sexual assault. And this is quite a tearful recollection. She ends up crying. But what you don't see on camera is that the whole room was crying. When I saw just a small group of women admit that they've all fallen victim to sexual assault, that they've all fallen victim to discrimination because of their gender, their sexuality, or their race, it broke my heart. Excuse me. It broke my heart, but it made me know that we have to make our voices heard and that what we were doing was very special. Somebody's Daughter is a way of reclaiming ourselves for ourselves. Too often, people try to relate issues of feminism to men by saying, imagine it was your sister, your mum, your daughter, when really we should be enough just on our own to not have to face these things. You should just have to know that that's a person. It shouldn't have to relate back to you for you to care. You know, the point is that, yes, I am somebody's daughter, but I'm someone, and that's enough reason to respect me. From the outset, we knew that we wanted this project to come from a place of compassion and not anger, in order to get people to really listen and for us all to be on the same page. That's something that really stuck out to me way back when Emma Watson made her speech. She said something along the lines of, how can we expect equality when half of the population isn't invited to the conversation? And that's so true. That has stayed with me ever since. We wanted this to be a way for people to see how we feel daily in order to make them see how their actions can contribute to it. This was never about attacking men or anyone else, because for true equality, we need everyone to be on board. I think I can certainly get frustrated when I hear people say to me, oh, well, if it's about everyone, why is it called feminism? I get that quite often. It's the femme part is so taboo. you know, this is something I have to laugh off and say, well, we don't get upset over words like mankind or man-made. And it's such a stupid, I don't want to say stupid, it's such a superficial reason to say that you're not a feminist. It's nonsense to me. And if your only excuse to not listen to how someone feels is because it might not include you in your opinion, then you can't really want equality anyway. And if everyone takes a while to listen, everyone would realize that feminism is just as important for men. The way our society works not only pushes women into a sexual box, but pushes men into a macho box. I feel like the world is categorized into pink and blue, and for men to step into pink is a huge taboo. You know, they're met with phrases, don't be gay, or don't be a pussy, basically insinuating that anything feminine is a negative if you're a man. Suicide is the number one killer of men under 50, and studies have shown that men feel like they can't talk about their feelings because that's not how a man should be. And that's not fair either. Men are raped by other men, and men are raped by women, another issue they feel like they can't talk about because it's filled with shame. And this is something that society puts on them. A patriarchal society does exist, and it does affect them negatively as well. You know, all these factors result in a serious mental health crisis among men, and still people don't want to say that a patriarchal society doesn't exist. Like I said, this project is all about bringing people together. People so often express their beliefs through divisive methods, and look at the state the world is in. We need to care so much more about each other. At this rate, I won't see equality between men and women in my whole lifetime. Sorry. And it makes me afraid. It makes me afraid for my little sister to ever hear half the things that I've heard. It makes me afraid to have a daughter. But we can't live in fear. The world is in such a pivotal moment, and everything is turned on its head right now. Doing this project is my only piece of giving back something that I truly believe can only do good. And that's all we can do. This project is for every human being to know that things aren't fair, but you don't have to leave it that way. Don't wait until the next time to react. The time is now.
That was Emma's story. An inspiring one at that. And Emma is an inspiration. It takes a lot to tell a podcast such personal things. Never mind, make a documentary about it. I'm sure you will have had your eyes opened after hearing some of the things she spoke about just then. Things that happen day to day. Unimaginable. I can't imagine it. And I can't help but feel a little bit bad as a man myself. No one should have to go through that. Emma and I both live in Cardiff, the capital city of Wales. By no means a big city, small in comparison to London, to New York, to Manchester, to Birmingham. And that's one girl's story. But we know that that happens to a lot more girls, a lot more women, not just Emma. Emma mentioned her documentary, her award-winning documentary, Somebody's Daughter. It happens to be filmed in the exact studio that I'm recording this podcast in right now. You must watch it. Episode 1 has been out for a while, and episode 2 is due to come out very soon. Here's a clip.
Got me down on the grass, like away from the rest of the party, and it was really dark, and he tried to climb on top of me, and I tried to push him off, and he went, "Oh, come on, just one kiss." And I'm a feminist because no man should ever feel entitled to my body.
We need feminism because 2 weeks after I was sexually assaulted, I got a phone call from a male police officer asking me, how much did you drink and what were you wearing? And no woman deserves to feel that vulnerable.
And no woman deserves to be blamed. Sorry. I just wanted to say it.
That was a short clip of episode 1 of Somebody's Daughter. It's available on YouTube. The link is in the description below. I don't always make my views clear on these episodes. I like to stay independent. But I'll make an exception. I am a feminist. I believe feminism is important and vital to our society. I understand there are so many misconceptions, and I must hand it to Emma, who, not only through this podcast, but through Somebody's Daughter, has really inspired me and others around me to believe in feminism and to be able to say that we are feminists. I was lucky enough to be part of episode 2 of Somebody's Daughter, and I was asked the question why I think feminism is important and why I am a feminist. And it was simple. For me, I didn't have to think long, because all I have to do is look at the women in my life, my mum and my nan and my grandmother, inspirational women that have raised me. All my family and all my friends, you know, impact my life. So there's not one part of me that thinks that women aren't important. It seems daft even having to say that. If you're an avid listener, you know I love to do a really long outro and summarise what we've heard, but I can't do that justice. Emma's story is a powerful one, and it educates us. Listen back to it. Learn more about feminism. We need a change in society. Think Tank is made possible by you, our supporters on Patreon. If you can donate even just $1 a month, that'll go to our hosting and production costs, and we're non-for-profit. To be a Patreon, go to patreon.com/thinktankpodcast. Thank you. Think Tank is a free and independent podcast recorded in the studios of Cardiff Student Media. This episode will be the last episode I record here, so I'd like to take this moment to thank everyone involved with Cardiff Student Media over the last 3 years. I look forward to the future of this podcast, wherever we end up. Would you like to share your story on this podcast? We're looking for people like you. Contact us on Facebook or Twitter at thinktank_pod. Or search Think Tank Podcast. Thank you.